From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's field trip is actor Scott Coopwood, whose wonderful voice, piercing blue eyes, physicality, and immaculate stagecraft combine to make him a go-to guy for Bay Area theater companies. Coopwood is starring this summer in all three of the plays comprising the 2012 Marin Shakespeare Festival, currently in progress at the new and much improved Forest Meadows Amphitheater at Dominican University in San Rafael, California. Coopwood excels at Shakespeare, having appeared the last few years in award-winning lead roles in Hamlet and Macbeth, as well as playing Iago, Edmund, Shylock, and currently he's giving us his take on two different Shakespeare kings, playing King John in the play of the same name, as well as Oberon, the King of the Fairies, in A Midsummer Night's Dream. To top it off, he'll be playing Philiste in David Ives' play The Liar. Let's talk to him and see how his summer's going. Please welcome to the field trip, Scott Coopwood. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, Mitchell, it's nice to talk to you. Good afternoon.
Well, I introduced you as a Bay Area actor, but actually you're not originally from the Bay Area, are you?
No, I'm not. I grew up in Tucson, Arizona. My dad taught at the University of Arizona for 37 years, and my mom was in elementary education in Tucson, and I grew up there and went to college there and then founded a theater company in Tucson, and then I moved to Vermont and started a summer stock with another friend of mine, and I lived in New York City, and I've done Chicago, and I've done New York, and then I did 10 years in Portland, and I've been in the Bay Area for 4.5 years.
Well, I knew you were a pretty good baseball player when you were younger, and you found acting sort of through baseball.
You know, I was my father was the baseball coach at the University of Arizona, along with my godfather, for 17 seasons. Yeah, I happened to have a run-in situation, you know, when I was playing when I was in high school, and it left me a window of opportunity of time to pursue something else. And I just kind of happened into the theater. I was doing, like, creative, dramatic speech and debate and interp, things like that. And so I kind of had taken a shine to performing, but I didn't really understand it. And I had this amount of time, and at that time, my favorite television program was MASH. And it was still at its peak at that time in the late 70s, early 80s. And they were doing it at my high school. And I auditioned, and I got a small part, and I got the bug. And from that moment forward, I decided that that's something I wanted to pursue. And then the following year, I went with an English class, and we saw a production of Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie. And I'm not ashamed to say that in my youth, I lived in a pretty dysfunctional household for a period of that time, and there was a lot of strife and some alcohol and some other issues going on there. And I found solace in the theater that afternoon. And when I went to see Glass Menagerie and I saw Tom struggling with trying to take care of his mother, who's gone off the rails to some degree, and his invalid sister, and support that family, and he would come out, you know, onto the balcony there and the fire escape and have a cigarette and talk to us about what was going on in his head, I realized at that moment, that day, that I wasn't alone in the world, and it just filled me with such a sense of, okay, that I'm not alone. I have a place, and this is speaking to me. And literally in the parking lot on the way back to the bus to go back to school, I felt like I had been given such an enormous gift of self-awareness and a place in the world, and that I was not flying solo, that I decided at that moment that if I could give this gift back to somebody else down the road, that that's what I wanted to do. But I really dove into the theater, and I went to college, and I studied theater, and I've just now made a career out of just being an actor and a director and a teacher and a carpenter sometimes, too. I actually built the set out there for Marin Shakes this year as well.
Well, you really are giving back.
Feels good, and, you know, I give back to kids every day. I mean, I'm teaching 9 to 12-year-olds Shakespeare right now as we speak. I just got home from doing that. And the great thing about the kids is that they don't have a preconceived notion about Shakespeare being scary or it being a different language. It's the English language. It's just spoken in a more poetic, flowery way. If you get them at that age, they take to it like, you know, like a fly to a light bulb, you know, or a moth to a flame. I mean, you saw King John, that kid Samuel who's playing young Arthur, he is 14 years old, and you understand every turn of a phrase that that kid utters. I mean, he was introduced to it as a youngster, and you see what can happen when you do get introduced to it and you're not afraid of it. And also, you know, I dangled the carrot of you get this, you know, we'll teach you how to sword fight, and you can do a broadsword fight too. So they really like that part, and they love to die on stage. They love to show off their best death. So I give them all of that, and we have a pretty remarkable time.
Well, let's talk about King John a bit. It's a play that's not often performed. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first time it's been performed in Marin County ever.
19 years ago is the last time anywhere in the Bay Area somebody has attempted to do King John. The beauty, I think, of our production is that we do a lot of direct address. We involve the audience as much as we can. We get them to lean forward and be partners with us in the scenes. And then we found the humor in the production, and in the script, there's quite a bit of humor. It really is. John is really, it's a melodrama. It's a soap opera. Everybody's stakes are at their peak, and everybody's vying for power, and who's going to get the throne. And if you attack it that way and you keep it moving, and we come in under 2.5 hours with intermission, I think it's a really entertaining evening in the theater.
Well, I do too, and you're right. Leslie Currier, your director, certainly mined it for the humor. There's a scene in which your character actually gets laughs from the audience while soliciting the murder of a child. That is not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm particularly fond of that scene. And Jimmy, who I play it with, who plays Hubert, Jimmy Heiser, is just wonderful in his dryness and his trying to follow what I'm saying and the realization of where I'm going. I think there are laughs of people being uncomfortable with the notion of what's actually being said, and I think that's a great release for the audience when they can actually laugh at that rather than be horrified by it.
I think you're right. You do a great job there. Leslie has put a wonderful cast together for this show, including the Ashland veteran, Barry Craft, who's always wonderful. Gary Grossman does a great job. And what I consider to be a couple of breakout performances by young actors, Eric McCrae as the Bastard, who you mentioned earlier, and also Liz Sklar, who plays Constance, and she's fabulous in the role.
She is fabulous. And I don't think you can mention them without mentioning Alex, who plays the Dauphin, the Dauphin. He is fantastic. And also, if you think about the character of Chatillon, what Brandon is doing with that, it's a throwaway role in most productions, but he has given it such a complete three-dimensional reading that you care about his character and you follow his arc throughout the story until his death. I mean, I think that those two guys need mention as well.
Well, I'm glad you did mention them, because that brings us to one of the other shows over there. That's Midsummer Night's Dream, in which you're playing Oberon, King of the Fairies. And what a great role for an actor.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, oddly enough, I mean, this is out of all the plays in the canon, I've now gotten 19 of them. I've never done a professional production of Midsummer Night's Dream. So it was always one that I wanted to do. And the opportunity to play Oberon across from Kat Thompson playing Titania and having Jimmy Heiser play Puck is a real treat. Those guys are pros, and we're also friends outside of the theater, and it's just been a joy to take this ride with them too as well.
Yeah, now Bob Currier, Leslie's husband, directed this show, and he said it in Hawaii, which seems to work.
I had a woman tell me the other night that she'd seen Midsummer so many times and wasn't going to come, but she was so excited about seeing it set in the islands, that's specifically what brought her to the theater to see Midsummer.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think Bob did a great job directing it. You all do a great job in it. I find it funny. It's fast-paced. And I love the Laurel and Hardy bits that you do with James Heiser.
Yeah. I, the relationship that we've created, you know, we didn't really speak about it. We just explored it and let it become. I mean, he's, you know, his Puck to me, it just lent itself to what we've created, because he was going out there on a limb with that kind of, I don't want to give it away, because his performance is worth paying the ticket price to come out and see.
Absolutely.
He's fantastic. And so I don't want to give it away, but that just kind of developed organically, and it is what it is, because the two of us just trust each other.
Well, it shows. It really works well. It's bada bing, bada boom, which is fabulous for that show. I guess we should also give a shout out to Jarian Monroe as Bottom. Jarian's an old friend, always does a great job.
Yeah, he's a hoot. He's absolutely a hoot. It's great to have him around. I mean, he's a pro's pro. He's been doing this for you know, a long time. I don't want to embarrass him, but he's been doing this a long time, and he knows what he's doing, and he certainly knows comedy, and he plays that thing like a, you know, like a first-tier violinist.
And the other thing that I liked about it is the very sexy way that Bob treated the young lovers. We should give a shout-out to Jessica Salins, Brandon Mears, of course, who you mentioned earlier, Evan Bartz, and Louisa Frasconi as the young lovers. It's slapstick. It's fabulous. It's sexy. They're running around half-naked. Everybody's going to love that.
You know, to pay a little tribute to those kids, I mean, they, along with Bob, but even I have to give them even more credit because, you know, they spent time when they weren't in rehearsal going over it, working on it, and they came up with some gymnastic-like crazy physicality. I mean, they are daring do, and they're completely committed to it, and the audiences seem to really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, they did a great job. And there's another kid who I haven't seen before, Alexander Lenarski, who is a great physical comedian, a little skinny kid.
Yeah, and he's the one that I mentioned who was playing the Dauphin in King John, and he just owned that role, and he's so clear with the text, and he's got his French dialect is impeccable. And then to see what he does in Midsummer, you know, I have been singing his praises since the third day of rehearsal when I saw where he could go. The kid's terrific, and it's a pleasure to work with him because he's a really humble, modest guy.
I know that for young actors, it's a great treat to work with a guy with the kind of experience that you have. Tell me this, what's next? What's up next for you?
But we're now in rehearsal for The Liar, and that opens in 3 weeks. So, I'm really busy working on that, trying to get my lines memorized and, you know, teaching the camp and stuff. So I'll probably sleep for a week in October, and then I'll wake up and somebody will call me and I'll be fine.
Well, Scott Cootwood continues in the role of King John until August the 12th. There are two shows that day. It's a Sunday matinee and evening performance. And the 2012 Marin Shakespeare Festival continues through September 30th at the Forest Meadows Amphitheatre in San Rafael. The tickets are very moderately priced. You can bring a picnic and a bottle of wine, or you can purchase them there at the Theatre Cafe. The shows are great, as are the actors. It's a wonderful way to spend an evening or a matinee. I think it's shaping up to be their best season ever. For more information, go to marinshakespeare.org. And Scott Cootwood, continued success to you, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
That's Scott Cootwood, everybody. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org anytime, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. And if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So until next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.